Now we're moving on to our final speaker, whose name I hope I'm going to pronounce correctly. It's Charles Cool. I've got it right. Good. Charles established CSCA, primarily as an architect's practice, in 2011 and has specialised in achieving planning permissions, listed building consents and related development approvals for both large-scale and small-scale new build and refurbishment projects. Based in London, his recent projects include schemes in Eaton Square, St John's Wood and Kensington, and he's now best known for designing Deep Space, a live-work unit in Ashby Mews, which is in the middle of Brockley. It is this, which has been recently featured in Channel 4's Building the Dream series, that he is going to present along with Erica Isaacs, who's here, and his client. So, over to Charles.
Thank you. Yes, so I've been invited to talk about 4 Ashby Mews. The project, as just been told, was on Moore Four's Building the Dream back in January, and we'll be watching that shortly. I met Sam and Erica back in 2012 after they had bought a dilapidated workshop at 4 Ashby Mews. It was the middle site between 3 and 5 Ashby Mews, which had also been recently purchased, and with their new owners looking to develop these sites, it therefore afforded us the opportunity to come together to form a cohesive collection of buildings, and along with the local authority, the three buildings were developed in tandem, informing each other as the projects progressed. Ashby Mews is in the conservation area, obviously, and runs parallel to Upper Brockley Road to the west and Manor Avenue to the east. Both are primarily residential streets, although each have their own distinct characters. You can see Manor Avenue to the left and Upper Brockley Road to the right. The Mews itself has long been a light industrial space, with the original coach houses from the 19th century making way for print, carpentry and other types of workshop. The existing workshop buildings at numbers 3 to 5 Ashby Mews had been built in the late 1960s. There was a triple brick construction, simple brick construction, with a sawtooth roof. The building at number 5 was no longer standing, and number 3s and 4 had fallen into a very bad state of disrepair, due to the lack of demand for small industrial uses on the Mews. As you can see, the existing site back in 2012 there. With the popular flourishing local artistic culture in Brockley, the conversion of these spaces into design and sculpture workshops for resident artists was a great way to revitalise the sites and the Mews. Being in a conservation area, however, meant that there was many challenges as well as opportunities. Despite the scale of the proposed design being similar to the existing structure and the provision of workshop space, the argument as to the advantage of the new buildings on the three adjacent sites had to be convincingly made. To establish the building form, a series of three-dimensional models were developed to explore the potential for the bulk. An abstraction of the sawtooth flat roof shape from the original building created an angular mansard roof to the north area of the building, with the flat roof over the southern element. The stepping and changes in height allowed for the maximising of the volume in the studios and also allowed for clear showy windows to provide additional daylight into the depth of the building. A terrace located in the first floor was also an important element of the design, as it created a negative space on the front elevation, thereby reducing the height of the building when viewed from the Mews, allowing the front elevation wall to take its own form, which more closely reflected the shape of the original building. The terrace itself was conceived as an inner courtyard whereby the rooms of the flat would look out into it and gain daylight from it, but the space itself wouldn't overlook or be overlooked. The building bulk was informed by the site. The original building covered the full site and so too would the new ground floor. With the buildings either side and the private residential gardens to the rear, only the front elevation and the roof provided places for windows and access to daylight. Other changes to the design included setbacks to the rear, which helped reduce the bulk to the gardens beyond, providing them with articulation and relief compared to the tall blank wall that had preceded this new design. It also provided areas for windows and roof lights that wouldn't impact on neighbours and would allow sunlight directly into the back of the building. The final element of the bulk that needed to be resolved required us to work closely with numbers 3 and 5 and the planning case officer, and this was to get gaps between the buildings just right. Can you not? Sorry. Is it? Does this come up? Yeah. No, sorry, I do speak quickly. Yeah, I apologize.
I don't think it's just elderly, infirm people like me.
Hi, it's a common complaint, I get. The final element of the bulk that needed to be resolved required us to work closely with numbers 3 and 5 and the planning case officer to get gaps between the buildings just right. We investigated various methods of stepping back and chamfering until a chamfer, splayed in section, provided the right balance to allow the necessary gap and maintain the correct proportion to the overall design. Again, this was taken advantage to provide... You can see this, the gaps between 3 and 5 either side with our building in the middle. This chamfer was taken advantage of to provide more roof lights and get daylight into various spaces of the building throughout the depth. This is the completed building of numbers 3 to 5 Ashby Mews. Number 3 ended up replicating the form of the original building while using local external materials. Again, this, as alluded to earlier, this was a very quick way to get it through the planning system. We ourselves took over 2 years. Number 3, taking a more simple approach with a replica design, was achieved within a year and a half. Number 5 copied the elevation of number 3, but used it to disguise a larger bulk on the upper floors, which is set back and clad in zinc, recalling the vast roof planes of the original buildings. With number 4, we very consciously pushed to provide a more contemporary and stylized building. The texture, concrete appearance of the front wall and other materials are deliberately industrial in appearance as a callback to the industrial uses of the site. The stepping front wall is an abstract form mimicking the original sawtooth skyline of the original building. The roof is separated from the top of the wall to allow it to float over the top and disappear back behind the front elevation. The stepping flat roof forms a dynamic shape that overhangs the terrace to reveal itself to the mews. The desired gap provides a clear view of the sky between numbers 4 and 5 and creates a real sense of the building reducing to a single story in height. The chamfer that creates the gap is splayed in section, creating deep window frames that are located to ensure privacy, framing views of the surrounding trees and sky and directing sunlight. The brief of the project was fairly clear from the outset. The ground floor was to provide the workshop and studio spaces, with the living quarters above on the first floor. A spine access corridor with facilities and storage space would run through the centre of the building to a stair at the back, with the large studio spaces either side. Upstairs would be self-contained two-bed flat. Effectively in the roof space of the original building. In section, you can see how the studio heights on the ground floor influence the roof form. Since the studio spaces would primarily be used for ceramic sculptures, it is important to maximise the heights, particularly Studio 1. The bedrooms located above Studio 1 as they can be lower in height, while the change in floor level provides a separation from the more public living spaces of the flat. The front elevation is minimal in its articulation, with two large openable windows to the two studios, a utility panel and a recessed doorway, providing shelter when accessing the building. Mild steel cladding was used for various features throughout the building, here shown on the front door. Both internal and external use of this material allowed us to bring the inside and outside together. Consistency of material was important to maintain an industrial aesthetic. The terrace is an important part of the design, not only providing outside space to the residents, it provides a secondary heart to the flat, with the living spaces and master bedroom all opening out into it. The roof flies over the terrace to allow its use during wetter times of the year, such as summer, while also sheltering the large expanses of glass. The front wall provides privacy and prevents overlooking. The glazing to the living room folds away into a pocket, allowing the terrace and living spaces to become one in the summer months. Studio 1 is an important space in the building. Being the primary workshop, it has a very large glazed opening to the front, a roof light and a floor light to provide ample sunlight for working in. Both studios utilise floodlights to get secondary daylight from the floor above into the middle of the floor plan. Here you can see in Studio 2, the floor light looking up into the kitchen, and it's located directly below a roof light, so you get a lot of sunlight flooding through from above, through the roof light, through the kitchen, and into the studio. Being deep spaces, both studios require to really take advantage of these roof floor lights. The rear roof light provides atmospheric shaded sunlight into the back of the room. It also allows for the studios to cross-ventilate naturally, saving energy on mechanical ventilation. The rear roof lights also provide views up to the sky and trees, forming a form of relief and giving a secondary rear aspect to these spaces. Again, with only the front elevation having windows and aspect, having secondary views was something we'd look to take advantage of whenever it was possible. Getting natural light into the depth of the building and into all the rooms was a key driver for the design of the internal spaces. A large skylight above the stair floods the corridor with sunlight. Internal windows to the kitchenette, shower room and Studio 1 allows the daylight from that stair to pass through into each of these rooms. It means that every single room in the building gets natural light somewhat. The glazed ceiling of the bathroom sits under the stairs, with a light filtering through the perforations of the stair tread. The clerestory formed where the two roof forms overlap allows for both south sunlight to bounce off the wall behind and into both the living area and through the floor light into Studio 1 below. A piece of installation art is incorporated into the wall. Being glass, it reflects and refracts sunlight coming through from the clerestory window. It also allows sunlight to pass through into the second bedroom beyond. There are three north-facing windows to the bedrooms and bathroom on the first floor. The last of these three wraps over the top of the roof, creating a well of light into the second bedroom. Again, these also create a secondary aspect onto the roof of number three adjacent. Having worked with number three, we agreed the positions of these windows, and that allowed for the privacy to be maintained. A large skylight above the shower in the bathroom, combined with a mirror down one of the wall, floods the bathroom and master bedroom with sunlight. While the clerestory under the overhang roof gives a vista of the chimneys and rooftops along Upper Rockley Road, while ensuring that the bedroom retains a private. The entrance corridor uses a vibrant angled wall to funnel people towards the studios and stairs. The angle allows for more space at the entrance and when area and when removing shoes and coats, and conversely provides more space to the kitchenette at the other end, allowing for an internal window to allow vistas through the various rooms and for natural light to pass through between room spaces. There are three stairs in the building and each is special. The first that we've already seen on the terrace is for people to interact with, sitting in and around it, and incorporates a planter. The main stair, shown here, is an object in some ways that is a jewel buried in the building. The mild steel balustrade is framed by the walls of the corridor, while perforated steps and sunken handrail are revealed at the end of the corridor. The third stair is a couple of steps from the main living space up to the bedrooms. It is discreetly located and leads you away from the living areas until you reach the top, where the corridor then opens up to provide a view over the whole of the living areas below and the terrace. With all the windows and roof lights, there were a lot of rich rays of sunlight passing through the various spaces, casting light across the surfaces and enriching and enlivening the textures of the walls, floor and ceiling. This site afforded an opportunity to create something different and exciting within a conservation area. We didn't have the same restrictions being on a main street and with historical buildings either side. By respecting the heritage of the site through materials and abstract form and working with the local authority and neighbours throughout the design development, we have created a design in form and character that both reflects the history and looks to the future of the site and neighbourhood. Thank you.